basically made a siyum today on what Chazal call, referred to as Masechet Nezikin, which includes the three bavas. But in closing with Makis, the truth is we close the section that has to do with the purely torts part of the Nezikin. From this point on, we get on to the broader elements of Nezikin, which have to do with procedural issues, such as Shuas, structure of society, which has to do with Avodah Zarah, Masechet Avodah Zarah, and the interaction between individual and society, which we get into in Urias later on, and then the moral structure of society in Aves. The end of the real issues that have to do with the elements of tort, contractual law, all types of civil law, and then moving on even into criminal law, we've taken care of through the end of Makot. So it's an appropriate siyum, but it's particularly appropriate because of the closing of Masechet Makot, which deals really with the aspect of Churban and Nechama, the linkage of Churban and Nechama, which of course is very appropriate for a yard site as well. And it's not as if these things are disassociated. In other words, we close this portion because the fact is that the dinim are dependent on the presence of the bayit, remarkably. In other words, Sanhedrin and Makot are not really functional without the Mokam HaMikdash. So that we cannot carry out, as we know, we cannot carry out many of the dinim once Bezdin is batal. And this is associated not only with the Mokam Goyrim, in terms of Chayovim Mises, but also in terms of the gradual dying out of the Smicha and Mumchius that took away so many of the dinim of Sanhedrin with us. All of this is dependent, really, on the same aspects of Churban and Nechama. I mean, even when we're Mispalel HaShivenu, we talk about in our Shmona Esrei, Shavtenu Kvarishona, V'yatzenu Kvatchila, it's V'yaser Mimenu Yagon V'yanacha. V'yaser Mimenu Yagon V'yanacha is linked directly to the rebuilding of the Bayit, and that's exactly where we go. After that, we go to the Malshinim, and once we get rid of the Malshinim, we have a chance as Binyan Yerushalayim, Tzemach David, and so on. So these things are profoundly connected. It's not just that the Masechta ends with a nice word of Nechama. It's in its perfect place. And it closes with a strange story that we just read. It closes with the story of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim. Why, first of all, does the Gemara link, or the story links the crying to the laughing, specifically? Because they ask him, why are you laughing? They think he's a maniac. He says, on the contrary, why are you crying? And then searches for the makor of his laughter, specifically in their crying. And the truth is that this is not any crazier, if you think about it, than the closing of Kol HaTorah Kula with the words of Lo kam Yisrael navi k'moshe od, and then to say Kol Yod HaChazakah, all the marvelous eisos that he did, la'inei kol Yisrael. And those closing words, as Rashi tells us, zu shviras aluchos. I mean, to close, it's exactly the same thing. It sounds crazy. What are we trumpeting the shviras aluchos as the grand moment of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, that this is the way we want to close the Chumash with Divrei Nechumim? So it's very, very much the same kind of idea. And somehow it means that there is a linkage to the Shvira, must be, as Rabbi Akiva is pointing out, to the Binyan to come. Indeed, what is the meaning of these linked prophecies? What is the point of Uriah? We know that Tosfos explains that we can at least excuse Uriah on the basis of his having apparently, not Beferish, but apparently said the same words that Micha had said. Because after all, they defend Yirmiyahu with the fact that not only Micha said these kind of things, but Uriah said these things, and he actually loses his life because of it. Because then, when Yoyakim overhears that Uriah was saying the same thing, he sends a group of soldiers to Mitzrayim and gets Uriah and kills Uriah. So it's a major moment, but it's a very strange way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to refer in Yeshayahu to the linkage of things where you could have linked it openly to the prophet that said it, to Micha. Then we also mentioned the problem, which Tosfos is also concerned about, is the lack of real juxtaposition. In other words, one is talking about the soda of the base Kachi HaKadoshim. I mean, there's nothing that is more different than the base Kachi HaKadoshim than an Avias that discusses children and the old people in the streets of Yerushalayim. I mean, that's outside of the Kachi HaKadoshim. It's outside of the Ezras Kayanim. It's outside of the Ezras Yisrael. It's outside of the Ezras Vashim. It's outside of the Arabayas. All the dargas of Kedusha that the Pasuk was referring to, which as the Ramban points out in his famous letter from when he visited Eretz Yisrael, that the degree of the destruction is exactly proportionate to the degree of the Kedusha. So we're linking now the fact that one day there will be children playing in the streets of Yerushalayim to the Beis Kachi HaKadoshim. It's not really what you would look to if we're trying to link two prophecies in such a way that they're interdependent. Then you'd expect to find actually a mirror image. I mean, Rabbi Akiva is taking for granted that the purpose of that linkage is to create a mirror of one to the other. Then it's a poor mirror. There are plenty of prophecies of Nechama that deal with the bias itself and Merom Harim and all of the Mevaser Tev. And I mean, why don't we talk about that? Why not link them? But it's just because of the impact of letting us know that it stretches across the Deres from the time of Uriah at the Mikdash Rishon all the way down to the time of Zechariah. Difficult to believe that that's all that it is. And the truth is that I believe that there's a key here in the fact of that linkage itself. In other words, what happened, if you consider just simply what the Gemara is saying that the two prophecies represent, you're talking about specifically going from the heights of Kedusha, in which we consider that the problems are linked specifically to the elements of Kedusha, and stripping it down, the Dafka, the things that we don't link to Kedusha, that we link very much to humanity, and the simplest of things, and that somehow is directly connected to the rebuilding. Now, if you think about it, that's exactly what happens on Shivasa B'Tammuz itself. The immediate reaction of Klal Yisrael to the Shviras HaLuchais is stripping themselves of the Adoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu backs that up when after Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispala. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll tell you what. Give up on those Adoyim and then we'll think about this. Maybe there's a way out. They had already taken off the Adoyim on their own. They understood that it was inappropriate for them to have Adoyim. The reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu and the shattering of the Luchais is exactly the same thing. We can hope. So the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu, in which he shatters the Luchais because of the fact, whatever it is, that, in other words, you could see immediately the way in which we have a pattern, right? We have a pattern of taking the thing which is the highest order expression, which is causing the problems, whether it's the Luchais Rishayim, whether it's the Adoyim, whether it's the Beis HaMikdash, and all of those things are possibly going to be able to find the tikkun. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this openly. If you're minatzel the adayim, then we really do have a chance at tikkun. So clearly, I mean, it's the same words that we say. This bias is kaput anyway. This was a bias that was already burned. So you're burning nothing but a shell. Moshe Rabbeinu with all of the pure... turn off the main switch because it's going to kill the refrigerators and everything. All right, wait. Let's give it one more chance. If it turns off again, then shut off the two main switches. Huh? Okay. Looks like it's all right.
Quite a sound.
Yeah. Right. So you could clearly see the pattern, and it's a pattern that sounds esoteric on the one hand, but it was clearly so down to earth that it was not only Moshe Rabbeinu's immediate reaction, it was Klal Yisrael's immediate reaction. They didn't need to be told to take off the Adoyim. They recognized that we take off the Adoyim. So that means that basically what it's pointing out is that the kilkel comes specifically because there's something wrong with the highest expression of what it is that we've lost, and that the only way in which it's possible to have a tikkun is bedafka to go back and start over, in a sense, from the lowest level. The truth is, of course, that the earliest expression of this idea in terms of nechama is the marble. What happens is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes out the entire world for a drunken farmer. Right? That's exactly what happens. So the only thing that's worth holding on to over here is this drunkard. Like the Malachi Asher, I say, this is the Adam that you like? Says HaKadosh, no, that's a drunkard. Don't ask any questions about him. And he's the Makar of Nechama. Zeh Yenachameinu. What is the Keach of Nayah? Isha Adama, completely attached to the earth. As the Yerushalmi says, Burgnin Hashem Burgnut. Was all pure. The earth speaks to him directly. Nothing complicated. That's what he wants. The Tikkun at the time of Uziyahu is exactly the same thing. The Gemara points out, and the Pesukim make a tremendous, and Divrei Hayomim, a tremendous point of saying that Uziyahu's Hatzlocha, which the Gemara views as problematic, but Uziyahu's Hatzlocha was that it was a man of the earth and used to love agriculture. He settled the country by creating all types of new agricultural schools and settlements and so on, which became a completely new way of settling Eretz Yisrael, restoring the original Gvulites, at the same time of Yerovam HaSheni, a remarkable resurrection. Brief, perhaps, but it's 50 years. And it was something that harkens back to the idea of tearing apart an entire world of tremendously sophisticated people who were directly in touch with Adam HaRishon, with the nature of Gan Eden, with all of the Kabbalah that they had from the beginning, and instead turning it into something which is the exact opposite, very much the stripping down of the Adayim themselves. So that when we end up over here with the little children that are dancing around the streets and the old men and women on sticks and being unable to walk, that's very much like the Heshiv Levavot Al Banim that we talk about in Yirmiyahu, in which we're stressing specifically those kind of relationships. Now, I think that there's a reason for this. The reason reflects on the whole meaning of Nezikin, and why it is that Nezikin plays such a tremendously important role, to the extent that we know the Gemara tells us somebody who wants to be a chassid, he should be Isaac and merely the Nezikin. I mean, it seems to me the complete opposite of chassidus. It's all very, very, it's exactly the kind of things that the Goyim make fun of, the Talmudic splitting hair thinking, and the Pharisees. Yeah. This is the kind of things that they think about instead of dealing with issues that are meaningful of morality. I think that the correct term over here is precocity. In other words, where you have a construction of a thing that is held together but is not yet organically formed, it's precocious. You'll notice that all precociousness ends up having structural weakness. There's a reason for that. I mean, we know that in our own experience. I mean, certainly it's true of too rapid development in an adolescent. Then there, you come out with an awkwardness, with an imbalance. But it's true in any situation where you create something that is not organically integrated, but that forces itself into an integration. For instance, if you're talking in biological terms, you can have very early types of living together, such as we still have today, let's say, in sea sponges, right? So you take a sea sponge, it looks like an organism, you put it through your blender, you blend it up, you throw it back into the ocean, and it reforms the sponge. Because it's not really an organism. It's a lot of different cells that are worthwhile working together, but have not yet formed an integrated kind of organism in which there's sufficient specialization to not be able to put itself back together after it comes out of a blender. Obviously, it's nice to put yourself back together out of a blender, but it does not give you many options of increasing complexity and the growth that organisms, integrated organisms, are capable of. We see this all the time. People even have a word for it. I'm trying to keep it together. When they're trying to keep it together, they basically need drugs, as you know. But they're in trouble. If I'm trying to keep it together, it means that I'm not really fully integrated. There's not an integrous response to something. I'm being torn to pieces by all kinds of things inside of me that are... That's where the word comes from. There's a subconscious recognition of elements of mind and psychology that are pulling you in different directions, and you attempt to assert a control over it to make it appear as if you're organically whole. So if somebody comes into the house, you'll put on a smile and pretend to actually be there. The moment they go out, you say, ah! Right? And yeah, you don't know what to do, but as long as they're out of the house and don't know, it's okay. So it's trying to keep it together. And the moment that the fault lines are exposed in those kind of organisms, it becomes clear that the keeping it together doesn't work because it can only tolerate a certain level of stress. So you have, by the way, this accounts for an amazing phenomenon, which is the number of recalls in the factory of Mysa Bereshis. Nothing has ever worked, right? You notice this. Never works. There's always recalls. And you're lucky if there's a recall. I mean, usually the whole thing is just thrown out. They start a new model. I mean, imagine, you know, the Mysa Bereshis with all of these amazing goals, with all of these choices, with all of these britot. But not one lousy thing has ever worked. You're talking about a couple of days of ish tachat v'gafno, tachat v'natron. But what are you talking about? Why is everything always done wrongly? Because it's precocious. You can create structures, but everybody knows all along the fault lines in those structures are visible from the beginning. And you know that it's been kept together. And this is, as the Gemara says, Sinak Vusha ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael for centuries. Ki al apiva chamati hayta yira zot miyomi vazda. It was absolutely clear from the beginning that the Beis HaMikdash couldn't survive. And it says so. There's nothing that's so amazing about that. What this does show, however, is something that is an amazing testament to the power of Mysa Bereshis. Because normally you would think to yourself that things that are that precocious shouldn't happen. And I think this is the astonishing thing. Let's consider for a moment what Nezikin is. Nezikin is building society from the bottom up. I mean, but from absolutely the bottom up. Remember that instead of asserting the moral principles of the society of Yisrael, which occurs all the way at the end, almost as an afterthought, of Seder Nezikin. So as the Gemara and Shabbos points out, and as Rashi makes a big point of there, we've spoken about it in Nezikin before, the nature of Nezikin is each individual watching out for himself, which is what? Why the Torah calls it Yeshuas. V'haya emunas yitecha, the simen, it's not really a simen, we actually use each and every one of these words, chesen Yeshuas, chesen is nashim, Yeshuas is the Zikin. Rashi says, why do we call the Zikin Yeshuas? Because if you are Isaac in the Zikin, you could save yourself a lot of money because you won't get hauled into court. You'll know exactly where your rights are and where the other guy's rights are, so you'll avoid a lot of heartache. I mean, that doesn't sound like a great way to build up the integration of Eila HaMishpatim, Asher Tassim Lifneyem, the whole Brit of Mishpatim, and yet that's exactly what Mishpatim is all about, isn't it? It's about animals, and it's about ownership, and it's about stealing, and it's about watching, and it's about the way in which organisms that are not integrated in any way learn to live with each other. And they learn to live with each other from the lowest darga up. Basically, And again, this is true about biology as well, which is remarkable. Some of the most sophisticated black box of Darwin in biology is cellular mechanisms, semi-permeable membranes, control of ionic channels that allow interchange. All of that, which people simply take for granted, that's not the case. That is the complicated stuff. On a molecular level, it is stunningly and amazingly sophisticated, far more sophisticated than the simpler reactions that are going on once you have the type of measurable things on the macrobiological scale that we're so used to dealing with when you go to the doctor. Breakdowns in those mechanisms are disastrous, and usually it gets you down to an understanding of genetic molecular levels in which you can only then understand why something like that could possibly go wrong. Whereas when you're dealing with gross organisms, the size of the molecules that are viruses, comparatively gross organisms, you're dealing with far more simpler issues that have evolved to take advantage in a small way of learning how to penetrate those type of mechanisms and to utilize the energies of a cell for their own purposes. But otherwise, it's an amazing detail work in which gradually it's possible to form a type of life which is organically integrated. A completely different approach to integration. Remarkably, and this is why I say precociousness is a tremendous testimony to my separations. Remarkably, anything that is capable of integrating does, even before it's ready. In other words, in exactly the same way that there's a principle throughout Bria that drives towards contact, integration, relationship, whether you're talking about on the level of subatomic forces, or you're talking about on the level of biological organisms, there is a driving force, a driving principle, which always tends towards order, complexity, and a tremendous giloy, even when it's very, very not ready yet for survival. And you take a look at the history of biology, this is what happens all the time. Immense explosions of various possibilities of life, and then things whittle down and become isolated into some certain few simple forms that then become the ones that prove themselves that are useful. But the truth is, anything that can work is tried. Weird. The same thing happens, of course, in the structures of societies, in the ways in which we war against each other, in the different cultures, imperiums, languages. It's all exactly the same process on a sociological level. So it's almost a continuum. The fact that Bria should continuously develop those type of things is a testimony to the yichud that penetrates the entire Bria Sa'ilam. And that yichud tends towards integration. It's the whole idea of the original klal. That's where it comes from. That's where it tends to. And it's not surprising that the earliest stages of organisms are precocious, the same way that human beings are precocious. When you're a teenager, you know everything. Right? And but that's precociousness. You're convinced you know everything. When you build the first base of Hamikdash, you're also convinced you know everything. Shlomo HaMelech is the Chacham Mikol Adam. He's got it all down pat. What could possibly be wrong? What's wrong is the Chacham itself. That's what's wrong. Whenever you have anything down pat, you do not have an organic whole. You have somebody holding it together. Remarkably, the one who knew this best was Yeravan. All he wanted to do was exactly the same thing that happened at Har Sinai. The precociousness of Har Sinai was destroyed by the Egel, and that's exactly what he said. This Migdash is a joke, and the best thing for it is a couple of Egels. Nothing could do a better job. And that was true, in a sense, in exactly the same way that the Egel itself was the source of the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately, in Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillah today. This is all Shivas Rebetama's issues. So that there's a Tfisa over here of what is wrong. He was Tefis, what is wrong? His desire to tear apart the Beis Hamikdash into Agolos, yes, obviously, there was the personal negias that warped the thinking about it. But conceptually speaking, you're talking about the removal of the Adoyim when it's unsuited. And remember, the whole thing started with his screaming at Shlomo about Shlomo's behavior on the day of the Chanukah Hamikdash. It's not that it was unrelated to the Mikdash. He saw those fault lines. And he saw that Shlomo wasn't able to hold it together. And he was absolutely right in that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu backed him for those 36 years in which Achiah Shiloni gave him the Malchus. He was meant to be a foil for that original Mikdash. There's a beautiful maral that speaks about this particular sugya here in Makkos in ways that are very universal as well. And what he says is simply like this. He says, the contrast, a churban, with the yeshvu bo zekenim zekenot, and so on, hayachad me'id al hasheni. One is directly related to the second. Because it is impossible, this is a general approach that the Maharal has across all of his works, it is impossible to create new without losing the entirety of the old. But he says it on an existential level, not simply on the issue of paradigms, changing paradigms. He says that existence is linked to non-existence. There's a dualism in which Maisa Bereishis needs to begin with nothingness. And that's why it stresses it. That's how Chokhba Mi'ayin Timatze. Ve'oretz Haita Tovavo. Choshech Al Pnei Tahom. Only out of that Choshech Al Pnei Tahom do you have Ruach Elohim Rachefet, Zeruch Hoshel Mashiach. The Gemara actually puts together those words with the Beis HaMikdash itself. So Bereishis Bar Olekim, that's the Beis HaMikdash Banui. And then it says, as it says, Linteya Shamayim Lisoid Oretz, Vileimor Letziona Miata. So you see directly that Bereshis Bar Elohim is Leimor Letziona Miata. Vearetz Haitato Vavou, that's the Beis HaMikdash Charuv. How Yirmiyahu said, Raiti Aretz Vinei Tohu, as a reference to the Churban. Vayomer Elohim Yihi Or, that's the Beis HaMikdash Banui Umeshuchlal, in its ultimate resurrection. As it says, Kumi Ori Kiva Orech. So he sees this, therefore, as being built into the nature of the process of Bereishis itself. It's only the entire dualism of creativity is linked to loss. And therefore, he's Masber. What does Rabbi Akiva mean? Well, Rabbi Akiva, what I thought, there wouldn't be a Kiyam of that Nevi'ez. How could there not be a Kiyam of the Nevi'ez? Says, well, of course there'd be a Kiyam of the Nevi'ez. So big deal. So there's kids walking around Yerushalayim. There's kids walking Yerushalayim today. So are there a bunch of Arabs and UN people and so on. So what is that proof? Therefore, says the Maral, that's exactly the point that Tosfos was raised. How do we know that walking around Yerushalayim is a reference to Yerushalayim that is Metukenet? Says the Maral, that's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Until I saw the Kiyam of the utter desolation of Tzion, I thought that the Nevi'ez of Uriah simply meant that there'll be a state of Israel. And that's it. Why not? Tremendous tikkun. People will come back. The land will be fruitful. Therefore, when I saw now, to the extent that Zechariah's Nevi'ez was mekuyam to strip away every vestige of any kind of meaning in the relationship to the Beis HaMikdash, only then did I realize that we have enough of a Churban to be able to really have something here. If I hadn't seen the extent of that Churban, I would have thought, we're looking for a Tikkun. Tikkun is garbage. We need to look for complete renewal, total rebuilding. And that's why I'm so happy. So of course I understood what it was that the Nevi'ez could mean, but what I wanted, now I see we're talking about a brave new world. It's a completely new idea. And it's remarkable. You know that in the coming of Mashiach, in Tolkien's Coming of the King, So he has exactly the same imagery, right? That year, the fruit was so plentiful that young hobbits were nearly bathed in strawberries and cream. And later they sat on the lawns under the plum trees and ate until they had made piles of stones like small pyramids or the heaped skulls of a conqueror, and then they moved on. And no one was ill, and everyone was pleased except those who had to mow the grass. So the focus on the simplest of things when you're coming from the heights of the destruction of Ra, and you're going back to the Shire. This is exactly the vision that we have over here. So you're talking about Zechariah, the entire battle of Ra Vatev, the nature of a Beis HaMikdash, and what is it linked to? It's linked to a vision of children playing in the streets. So apparently the same type of very fundamental structural development that comes from non-precociousness. It's bedafka, completely not precocious. It's children that are simply playing, hand in hand with old men and women walking down the streets. That is exactly as Nayach and his Nechama, strawberry and cream, exactly as the Zayar Chodesh says, is the nature of the Ashras HaShchina in the Beis HaMikdash always. Because the Shechina is only Sheret between the Kruvim, and the Kruvim are the children that are playing in the street. Because the Shechina is also pretty disgusted with the same things that we're disgusted by. And as the Zohar puts it, so what do you do when you're disgusted? You go to a ball game. You watch kids play. And if you watch kids play, there's a sense of organic restoration in which you become a kid too. That's the language of the Zohar. You become a kid. So too, Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shechina needs to be able to share on that level of children playing in the streets. It's remarkable. So in doing that, you're literally creating now the matrix for HaShras HaShechina that becomes ultimately the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash. That means that Nezikin, the Kayach of Nezikin, you want to be a Chassid, so what do you think you're going to do to be a Chassid? You'll read Sifrei Chassidus. Says the Gemara, absolutely not. That's the worst way to be a Chassid. What you will do is you'll become very intelligent about Chassidus, and you will try to keep it together so that when all of your lousy midas come up, you'll remember the Sefer says to do this and to do that, and there's this segula, and you can always practice that and go to this Rebbe. Whereas if you had been Isaac bottom up in the awareness of what it means to constantly be in touch with where your rights really, don't make assumptions. Because we walk around angry all the time because of these assumed rights. Learn what it means to be part of an extended organism in which your very awareness is linked to other people. Your ability to speak is linked to other people. The sense of a place, a space, in which there's a mokum for you is a linkage to that which inhabits that space. That's what you will do. You'll become man de boilem ahavi chasida. Note the words. You want to develop into a chasid. Be Isaac and Mila Zekin. You want to learn about chasidas. Make yourself a chasid. Do whatever you want. Because it's not going to work anyway. Because ultimately the fault lines are always going to be exposed. So the only way in which it's possible to be a chassid is without precocity. It needs to be organically whole. And you would have thought. I mean, the truth is, whenever this shows up again in the Sinas Chinam element of the Churban, this shows up, as the Gemara tells us, what? Achav is Eved Avodah Zarah, the worst possible thing. And he goes out, and every war he wins, and he's an international power. And here all of these great tzaddikim are being defeated left and right. Why is that? Well, it's very simple. If in the days of Achav, there was Ovadyo that was hiding all of those Nevi'im, can you imagine today somebody hiding anything? It'd be front page news a week later. And here for years, he's like, no. Doesn't that show you that you're talking about people who know how to respect the integrity and the presence of another person? So because of the fact that they didn't have Del Torin, no, come on, Sabajash. Sure, wait. Honey, he's learning. Did I scare her away? She does about his learning. She's cute. That she's very careful about.
Steps.
Didn't you tell her we're taking you down by balloon?
I tried to explain that.
Ay, ay, ay. And that means that the learning of it brings you directly, more directly in touch with the organizing principles of Bria itself. So that, remarkably, the development of your awareness, not simply the development of your intellect and the ability to respond, Yeshua's means you need to be aware in order, initially, not to make mistakes. But that awareness links your mind to the presence of others. And in doing that, it makes you more aware. So that what you think is entirely mechanical, it tends towards an organic wholeness from the very beginning, because we're talking about learning, we're talking about Torah, we're talking about Asik, Lasik, Bemili Dinazikin. And therefore, it exposes the organizing principle of Rashis itself that the Maharal is referring to. Even things that are not directly applicable. As we had many of the issues that we spoke about, that ever will be such a thing, never was such a thing. Drosh v'kabelschar, l'agdil Torah v'la'adir, a magical interrelationship that the rest of the world despises the Pharisees for and their logic. And it's amazing because this is the opposite of those who search for make love, not war. We want Mashiach now, whether it's hippies or whether it's Tzvat. Or the application, those are actually a movie but they called The Beach, which breaks down because of Nazik, and the society breaks down and ends up with murder. There's literary themes all over. So that drive for connection, it's an orgiastic connection. It's not an organic connection. It's specifically an attempt at breaking. That's the idea, make love, not war, isn't it? Because I'm trying to create relationships by freeing up love instead of building actual interrelationship that's organic. It's the ultimate antithesis of being Isaac and Ezekiel. And you see, it's people who don't want to be Isaac and Ezekiel that will always move to Tzvat. Because the two things are absolutely the opposite approach of what it takes to become an organic whole. So that the down-to-earth nature of Mishpatim and the way in which it pulls you off of the heights of Har Sinai, as the Medrash puts it, all in one day. The word that the Pasuk uses is katot, to crush, brings you down to earth off of Har Sinai. That's the same way that the first thing that's told to you after Har Sinai is if you're going to build a Mizbeach, make sure that you don't step over me. And that's the Kal V'chomer. The first thing, Mizbeach Avanim Tatzar, don't make them in a way that's going to walk upstairs. And that's the first Kal V'chomer. If that's the case, imagine walking over a human being. So again, we get straight down to the bris that was made on our Sinai. Becomes the bris that was made Botziat Chamir Mitzrayim, a bris that deals with the understanding of the interrelationship of rights of people. So if you're talking about now the three mesechtas of the Nezikin that we did, the three gateways, those three gateways are very, very clearly defined. So we start off with Bava Kamma, where we talk about the simplest things that you have, the rights that you have, your animals, the interrelationship of where you can have your animal, where you can park your car, what kind of mechanical things you need to put into place to make sure that other people aren't damaged, where you're allowed to be, where you're not allowed to be, awareness of others' assumption. We actually close the Masechta with the issue of whether the other person's bilis extends even to parasitic plants, which are themselves a substructure of exactly the issue that we're talking about. And we close up with Apirya Namte, which amazingly, right, Bab Metzia, which amazingly Rashi says is the meaning of Ben Porat Yosef. You take a look, Ben Porat Yosef, Rashi, and Chumash, Kegon Apirion Namte L'Rabbi Shimon. In other words, he is basically telling us that Lashon of Ben Porat Yosef is the mode of interrelationship. It's the intercourse with the world. So that all business intercourse, modes of human intercourse, defined ownership, complex ownership, questions of yiush, mitzia, shnayim echazim, ownership in which you're taking the place of the bialis through shmira, pikadain, sharecropping, contracting, contracts, money systems. There's no greater intercourse that's central. The modality of the user interface, which is chen, the ben porat, that modality is money, interests on money. All of those issues, the middle gate, is indeed that which provides for the interface. Well, the Basar literally deals with walls and membranes. Exactly. Extensions of self, shutfim, inheritance, closes. Did we do that? We did. Did we do the issue? Okay, we had Nichse de Barbar Sisan, I mean, it's really the elements that close. Hezekria. So this is essentially why the Nevius of Zechariah has to take us back to Binyan, but Davka through the simplest thing. It's why Nezikin, Shivazer Batamas themselves go to Kachim. For the same reason they're dependent on Kachim. The structure of Kachim, of Vadeis HaMikdash, is dependent on Nezikin, not vice versa. We don't create our society around the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the creation of a functional society first. And Lamaisa, this is why Uriah himself, I mean, this is Shivasa Batamos, leads back in this fashion to Tisha B'Av, to Mashiach. Uriah HaKohen is singled out instead of Micha, even though it's not really his open nevius. According to the Arizal, for an amazing reason. Uriah HaKohen is the Gilgal of Aaron HaKohen, who was never personally punished for the Egel. His children were punished. But what about the Aaron Yisanef Hashem Ha'ed? In Uriah's murder by Yoyakim, was that anger at the Asiyas HaEgel against Aaron? But that means that Uriah is directly connected to Shivasa Batamas himself. So that what we're looking for, and by the way, I mean, he has a whole additional piece, in which Avia is really not of Aviu, so that Avia is the Yan Nimtza by Dover Tev, that Dover Tev, say Chazal, is Mashiach ben Yosef. So Mashiach ben Yosef, it comes from him. Exactly this same tikkun that we're talking about. It's not coincidental that even at the beginning of Nezikin, the name that we give to Adam HaMazik is Maveh. Maveh because of Intivoyum, Boyum, Tshuvu Esoyum. So we're basically starting in Baba Kama to end up in Tshuva? Tshuvu Esoyum? If you wish to do Tshuva, so then you have the language and the brains to do so? That's the makor of the nature of Adam HaMazik. It's astonishing. Where do we learn about the building of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the responsibility of seeing to it that it's a binyan of Eish. Shalem Yishalem HaMavir Et HaBeira, says the Gemara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was the one who burnt it down, so I got to pay to make sure that it's rebuilt. This is something that is absolutely integral to the idea of Nezikin and the structural wholeness of a society. It's meant to have a brain. It's meant to have a Beis HaMikdash. In exactly the same way that a society that lacks that level of integration, but that has a functional level of integration, it may lack a higher level of awareness, but it certainly has a level of awareness that allows it to make the type of phenomenological changes that an intelligent organism has, in exactly the same way that there are kelelim in the university and fellowships in the university. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash in Yisrael. It's the most natural thing in the world. Of course it's natural. That there should be a Tzva Hashem, that there should be Leviim, that there should be Kehanim, that there should be functionaries that are Isaac in the constant movement of Yisrael to be Malavahit. It's absolutely natural. And if it comes from anything else but that natural process, then indeed it's disastrous. This, I must just want to close by pointing out that anybody who had any kind of relationship with my father, Zechareinu Livracha, knew that his constant watch against precocity was stunning, against the lack of any of absolute organic holism, bordered on the dangerous. It literally bordered on the dangerous. And if it hadn't been that he was totally committed to simplicity in his own life and his relationship and not ever trying to do anything, it would truly have been dangerous. Because the sense of the unwillingness to accept anything that was art, particularly when it came to Hasidus, which is interesting. In other words, he was raised as a Hasid and bitterly rejected structural things that were not organically true. If he couldn't find where it was that this was linked to where the Torah was meant to take us, absolute rejection. Very, very similar to the approach of Yeravam, except that Yeravam didn't maintain that simplicity. It was always a question of his position. But it's a dangerous approach, there's no question. But this commitment to the minor details, to getting the, anybody who listened to his shir, the polish of each and every nuance of a Rashi, of a Gemara, of a, the way in which it needed to be organically complete, saved him from any kilkel, and on the contrary, made it a mode by which it was possible to discover MS. So I thank you all for your participation in what I hope is an Elias Neshama for Avi Meiri, Reb Shmuel Yaakov, Ben Reb Yitzchak Matisyahu, which will be Zeicha next year to Binyan Shalem, and to perhaps be able to eat Bina Kotchim, Bina Zvachim, instead of needing to have a see him after a tinus with the lights going out and everything. Kumi ori kivorech.